heads, please. Let's pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we come before you. Thankful, dear Lord God, for this faith-filled environment, dear Lord God. We come with high expectation. Lord, I thank you that our ears are open. We're ready to receive your engrafted words with meekness, dear Lord God. We will mix it with faith. We will bring forth fruit, and that fruit shall remain. That is our declaration today, dear Lord God, moving forward. Because we're mighty in you, dear Lord God. Mighty in you, Heavenly Father. Glory and honor, they belong to you and you alone. Touch my heart, touch my mind, dear Lord God. Give me a word in season to them that are weary, Heavenly Father. And I thank you that today my teaching is not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but it is in demonstration and the manifestation of the Spirit and of power. And I thank you for transforming power today. Minds are being renewed. Hope is restored. Faith is increasing. In Jesus' name, let all who agree with that say,
amen.
Amen. Repeat after me, please. Say, I will worship.
I will worship.
I will connect.
I will connect.
I will be equipped.
I will be equipped.
And I will serve.
I will serve.
You have to will yourself.
Yes.
Sometimes you don't feel like it. I learned a long time ago, I manage my feelings. My feelings don't manage me. So I will worship. I will lift up my hands. I will declare the goodness of the Lord, no matter what is going on in and around me. Elder Abraham, when he was praying earlier, he made a statement, and it was so profound. He said, my situation doesn't change God. I don't know if some of y'all heard that, but I heard you, Elder. Sometimes we think just because we're going through something that God is impacted by it. Let me tell you something. All your days were numbered before you were even born. Nothing catches him by surprise. And my belief is this. If he allows me to experience some good, it's going to come out of it. So when I enter a situation, my mindset is, okay, here we grow, Lord. We need finances. All of us. We got bills to pay. And so for some of you, and one of the things we pray when we're receiving our offering, that declaration we make, is we say for jobs and benefits and favorable settlements and the return of what's lost and scholarships and increased sales and oh, y'all remember it. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. You need to declare that during the week, okay? Not just on Sunday mornings when Elder Kelvin is up here. So you're searching for a new job, believing for a new job. What are some of the things, and this is not rhetorical, holler back at me. What are some of the things you look for in a new job? You need a new job. You're looking for a new job. What are some of the things you look for? Holler. What was it? Benefits. Well, pay. What was that, Minister Tim? How much it pays? Who else?
Good hours.
Glory to God. Going in 12. Get off at 2. Hallelujah. Make $720 an hour. Work 2 hours a day. Hallelujah. Give me, somebody else talk to me.
Retirement.
Amen. That was a good one. Retirement. I like that matching retirement. I put in a dollar, you put in a dollar. Glory to God. Then we invested in a good the deferred compensation and, you know, get a good 14, 15% rate of return. Glory. Who else got something? Talk to me.
Pension.
Okay. What'd you say, Dale? Amen. 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 What was that?
Disability.
Stability, stability, amen. Sisters, we want security, amen. Will you, this company is going to be here next week, next month, 2 years from now. Man, drive up to work one day at 8:30 a.m., getting ready to punch in, and it doesn't exist anymore. You get more than your feelings hurt, amen. What do you look for in a new house? You want a new home. Size. Who said size? I hear size over here. Size. What else?
Solid foundation.
You say bathrooms. You can tell people from a big family. You got girls. Hey, when my dad, when he was a pastor in Shreveport, Louisiana, and he had a church in Wascom, Texas, okay? And so I think it was second and fourth Sundays we would go to the church, Union Chapel in Texas, and then we would go to the church in Shreveport, Zion Mission, like on first and third, I believe. It was a rotation, right? But that church in Texas was about a good 40-mile drive. And the house that my mom and my dad and I lived in only had one bathroom. And this is what would happen. We would get in the car going home. I'm 6, 7 years old. And this 6 or 7 years old. And we would do this. I'm first, I'm second, I'm third. That meant the order that you, because we only had one. So I hear you, Kathy. Bathrooms are important. Glory to God. Amen. Give me something else you're looking for in a house. Location, neighborhood, affordable mortgage. Amen. Huh? No mellow roofs. Amen. Okay. What was that, Darlene? School. Thank you. Thank you. Schools are important. Why are schools important? Education. Okay. What else do you look for in a school? Good teachers. What is it? Population. Come on, talk to me. Who else? Sports. Activities. Huh? School scores. Why? You don't want your kids around a bunch of low-performing people. Okay, glory. Diversity. Amen. Especially in this day and age. We need diversity. What? Curriculum. I'm sorry, side note. I'm wearing this today. Nothing to do with Africa. I'm not promoting anything. It's hot outside. Okay? Just FYI. Okay, back to the schools. Just because I walked in and Lisa Thompson said, oh, you still in Africa? No, it's hot. I'll be here all day and got two other things this afternoon, okay? All right, who else? What else we look for in a house?
Safe environment.
Safe environment? Hallelujah. Yeah. Neighbors. Neighbors, amen. Close to the freeway. That's a good one, okay. So when you go to that new job, huh? Okay, amen. Oh, Lord, she said shopping center. So. Then she tried to clean up with grocery stores, and I saw that. I need a Macy's. So let me share something with you. Do you ever stop to think, God, what is the job you have for me? What is the house you have for me? And now everything you guys said is good. It shows stewardship. You care about your families. And that's good, but that's still kind of entry-level thinking. You all have your preferences. And a lot of what you said, even like Kathy said, the bathrooms, because you got girls, you got three girls. If you think Kathy got a bed, how about John, the only male in the house? Oh. Brother Malik, I feel you. Okay. Brothers with only girls. But here's the thing, that you need that those are your preferences. But see, what we have to learn to do is not live from a place of our preference, but from our place of purpose. Because see, it matters. I heard someone say, it don't matter where you go to school. I disagree. God decides where and when we're going to be born. That's Acts 17:26. Look it up later. He decided where and when we're going to be born. He's up to something. He sovereignly and providentially placed us in one particular community or time period for a reason. We begin to experience life, and then what we happen is we let our life experiences manage us. And we make decisions, and this is why so many of us miss purpose, and we end up falling short, because you begin to live life based on your preference, and you wonder why you continually is just not working for you. Have you ever wondered why each year looks the same as the previous year? Because you're in preference and not in purpose. And there are some things I really, really like. But often I just, here's an oversimplification, but if you're just so crazy about candy, it's going to be good for a moment. The Bible even tells us in Hebrews that Moses decided to not to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. See, there's seasons. Seasons. Let's get into this. Today's message title in this series is, What's in it for me? And often when we approach a situation, that's what we lead with. What's in it for me? That was a comedian, and I don't remember her name. It was so funny. She's out at the club, and she's doing her routine. And a lot of these things, I don't watch anymore because I'm saved now. Now, I was saved then, but I'm walking in the fullness of my salvation now, okay? And I just ain't listening to all that crazy stuff anymore. I can live without Dave Chappelle and Kevin Hart and... I can, okay? I know some of y'all and that's cool, do your thing, but I ain't going. That's just me. But what happens is what she said was she's at the club and a guy come up to her like, hey, baby. And she said, what's your name? She said, Rent. and all. Come on, girl, what's your name? Southern California Edison. In other words, she's like, what's in this for me? I got to get something out of it. But we have to learn, instead of asking what's in it for me, that's a low quality question. A higher quality question is, God, where are you working in this? We'll come to a church like this one or others, and you're like, well, it doesn't feel right. And I'll be the exact same place God has for you to go, and your purpose is there. But because you like a certain style of music, you get your music on. I'm going to get my praise on, and I'm telling you, 5 years from now, everything will be the same. But you're praising him. But no breakthrough, no victory, no overcoming. And often because the people that God has designed for you or the programs or systems or classes or whatever is there where you because you don't prefer it. And nowadays, this thing, and actually about 5-6 years ago, I heard this, and I call them the centennial moms. They all had sons playing football. And they would always say, what's that about my feelings? I'm feeling some type of way. I'm like, what way is that? And it's in one of the classes, the Destined for Purpose class we teach, one of the exercises is called fact versus meaning. Fact, this event happened. You choose the meaning you attach to it. So have a situation. You say, why is this happening to me? That's low quality. Ask it this way. Why is this happening to me? Do you see the difference? I'm inquiring. And when I'm inquiring, new knowledge is coming in. New information is coming in. Now, I want to show you two people in the Bible, and they had an issue with this. And if they had an issue, quite possibly we could have the same issue. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verses 24 through 28. That's a long text, but this is what we're building on for this Sunday, okay? It says, then Saul admitted to Samuel, Saul was the king, okay? And Samuel the prophet had told Saul the king, hey, go and wipe out all the Amalekites, okay? Now, I've heard people say, oh, that's just evil. Why is God destroying everybody? If the Amalekites had done in your family what they'd done to the children of Israel, you would have wanted them wiped out too. But Saul didn't do it. Watch this. Then Saul admitted to Samuel, yes, I have sinned. I have disobeyed your instructions and the Lord's command. Now he tells why. For I was afraid of the people and did what they demanded. So see, he was leading from his preference. And I've learned, I'm not leading, I'm not pastoring from my preference, I'm pastoring from my purpose. It's a big difference. I was afraid. Now what was he afraid of? The people. Wait, aren't you the king? Aren't you the one God put in charge of them? What are you afraid of? If you're going to choose to be afraid of someone, be afraid of God. Why are you afraid of the people? But somewhere along the way, the people's validation and affirmation of him, he began to rely on that. But you know, people are fickle. People are moody. People change their minds. Some people grow up. And some people don't. 25. But now, watch this. Now, he still didn't get over it. Watch this. But now, this is Saul talking. But now, please forgive my sin. Watch this. And come back with me so that I may worship the Lord. But Samuel replied, I will not go back with you. Here we go. Since you have rejected the Lord's command, he has rejected you as king of Israel. Let me tell you something. People think grace is forever. You keep thinking, okay. And at some point, it's going to run out. And the sad thing is you'll look up and like, oh, it's gone. I'm out here all by myself. I remember you reading the Bible where the glory left the temple. And everybody thinking, and they didn't even know the glory has gone. Grace is not endless. You keep sinning. You keep living unrighteous and unholy. Watch what will happen. For the wages of sin is... Since you have rejected the Lord's command, he has rejected you as king of Israel. That's why I don't reject my purpose. Minister Terry, you asked me, when God first called you, Pastor Tony, wasn't you afraid? Fear doesn't matter. Because fear is just feelings. Fear is that you're afraid something's going to happen. Something you're trying to prevent from happening. I learned this, let it happen. Let it happen. And watch me overcome. Because greater is he that's in me. Y'all be saying that, right? You got to at some point really embrace that. As Samuel turned to go, Saul tried to hold him back and tore the hem of his robe. And Samuel said to him, oh, watch 28. The Lord has torn the kingdom of Israel from you today and has given it to someone else, one who is better than you. Now, here's the problem. He was going to give the kingdom to David. Now, let me tell you something. And I don't want to get too deep, but just follow me, okay? Saul did not lose his kingship right away, but he lost the grace of God. And see, what happens, we think just because we're in a position that we're still in purpose. You think just because it still looks the same, it is the same. But there's been a shift in the spirit realm. It just hasn't manifested in the physical realm. And God has taken his favor off of Saul and put it on David. Now, we're going to get into something in a minute. I want to give you a little preview so you'll understand it as we go through, okay? It lifted off of Saul. It's now resting on David. But the problem is David was 15 years old. So Saul, David did not become king until he was 30. David became king when he was 30, okay? He gets his anointing around age 15. 15, 16, we're going to say 15, okay? So it took 15 years of maturity and development before he began to walk in the fullness of what God had for him. In the meantime, Saul was still the king. Saul was king for 40 years. Okay? 40 years. Make sense? David was 30 when he became king. Saul was king for 40. David turned 30. So for 10 years, David wasn't around when Saul was ruling things. Does that make sense? You hearing me? And just do the math on this. So even though at age 15, Saul was in charge for 25 years now. 25 years. Got another 15-year run, and he thought he was really still in charge. He wasn't. And that's the fallacy a lot of us live under. Like, oh, it's still good, just because you haven't been removed from your position. But you can be in that position and not be in purpose. Does that make sense? Yes. Next time maybe put that up high, because I want you guys to get that, okay? Now, the thing about Saul, he chose to go by his preference instead of his purpose. And before you know it, life is getting jacked up for him. Turn your handouts over, please. And this is my desire. I want to explain to you the difference between your temporal desires, your temper, here down here in this three-dimensional world we live in, this physical world we live in, versus your kingdom purpose. Here's a fact. Your kingdom purpose will always be more fulfilling and long-lasting than you living out your fleshly desires. I need you to get this. Your kingdom purpose. It's going to be more fulfilling. Trust me. I have a house now. We live in a house. I like my house. We get compliments on our house. I love living in my house. My wife and I have asked the Lord, can we have this house? Because we felt it was a kingdom house, and there's a reason for us being in that house and just all the stuff. And many of you guys that were here from the start understand the development, how we got to where we are. But nevertheless, if this is not the house you have for us, I want the house you have for me, because I prefer proximity to the freeway. Thank you, Sister Lisa. There's some shopping around. Other Sister Lisa. My kids are older, so we don't have an issue with the schools right now. But I work in some of the schools now, and I just like the environment. But what does he have for me? That's what's important, not your preference. Now, let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 17. And I'm going to be reading from the New Living Translation. 1 Samuel chapter 17. And we're going to go from verse 12 to 31. Okay? Now we're talking about David, the young man who had replaced Saul. Now I want you to watch. I'm talking about immaturity here. So you can be called and have a calling. You can have an anointing and still be immature. And you still need to be developed into it. Okay? I want to show you this so you'll understand this. In verse 12. And this is after he was anointed, but he's still watching sheep, okay? Verse 12, now David was the son of a man named Jesse, an Ephrathite, from Bethlehem in the land of Judah. Jesse was an old man at that time, and he had 8 sons, okay? Jesse's 3 oldest sons, Eliab, Abinadab, and Shimeah, had already joined Saul's army to fight the Philistines. So the 3 oldest are out there fighting the Philistines. And this is the Goliath, the giant, okay? 14. David was the youngest son. David's 3 oldest brothers stayed with Saul's army. But David went back and forth so he could help his father with the sheep in Bethlehem. For 40 days, every morning and evening, the Philistine champion, that's Goliath, okay, strutted in front of the Israelite army. One day, Jesse said to David, the father said to the son David, okay, take this basket of roasted grain and these 10 loaves of bread and carry them quickly to your brothers. And give these 10 cuts of cheese to their captain. See how your brothers are getting along and bring back a report on how they are doing. Now, before he became king, he's still running back and forth because of his father. But even little assignments like this have a purpose. Can you be faithful in the little? And the thing is, most of us are not faithful in the small things and wonder why we never hit that next level. Okay? Because who's... That's a whole nother message. Who are you serving? Who are you serving? Even though you're all that in a bag of chips right now, who are you serving? One of the reasons I told Minister Tim and others before we went to South Africa, I said, okay, you guys, I know you love me, you guys got my back and all that, but I'm here to serve my bishop. Remember that conversation? I'm here to serve, and that's, I'm serving him. I'm serving him. Michael Jr., the comedian, you know, the Christian comedian, I'm on his board. I'm here to serve, I serve Mike. I serve Mike. There's another church that's not under us, but I serve them. They're down in Santa Ana. I serve them. I'm making sure I'm serving someone. You look at this principle here. I'm never going to get too big while I'm not serving someone else. So next year, when we got the whole bishop thing, and Elder Joyce already told me, y'all going to pick out my robe and all that kind of stuff. And y'all, please take pictures that one night when I get ordained, because that's the last time you're going to see me in that robe, okay? And that's cool. My daddy, everybody, they wore that, but it's cool. It's just, it's hallelujah, okay? 19, David's brothers were with Saul and the Israelite army at the Valley of Elah fighting against the Philistines. So David left the sheep with another shepherd. Look how responsible that boy was. So David left the sheep with another shepherd and set out early the next morning. He didn't wait till, okay, it's too hot, it's noontime. He got up early the next morning with the gifts as Jesse had directed him. He arrived at the camp just as the Israelite army was leaving for the battlefield with shouts and battle cries. Now this is funny because they're going out, whatever they're doing, okay? But they scared to death of Goliath. Okay, 21, soon the Israelite and Philistine forces stood facing each other, army against army. David left his things with the keeper of supplies. Look at him again. You see how responsible he is. It's a lot of leadership lessons in this, okay? David left his things with the keeper of supplies and hurried out to the ranks to greet his brothers. As he was talking with them, Goliath, the Philistine champion from Gath, came out from the Philistine ranks. Then David heard him shout his usual taunt to the army of Israel. As soon as the Israelite army saw him, they began to run away in fright. 25, have you seen the giant, the man asked. He comes out each day to divide Israel. Here we go. The king has offered a huge reward to anyone who kills him. He will give that man one of his daughters for a wife, and the man's entire family will be exempted from paying taxes. That's not a bad deal. Fellas, especially if you're 17 years old and your hormones are raging. I never thought about that. Yeah, you be 15, 16, 17, I get a wife. Hallelujah. And then two, with David being ostracized by his family, here's a good way for them to get back in, him to get back in. Yeah, you remember they ain't like David. Kept kicking him to the curb. And I can show you elsewhere, he was a bastard child. He was born out of wedlock. Somebody was slipping and dipping in his family. Mom and daddy, you believe his daddy tripping and cheating, okay? And then David was conceived, so he was never welcome into his family. But if I can get it where they don't pay taxes, they'll love me. So what's in it for me? What's in it for me? I get a wife and get my family. And that's how we approach things. What's in it for me? As opposed to stopping and thinking like, okay, God, why are you allowing this? Why are you allowing me to experience this? Where are you working in this situation? Let me just pump my brakes, get rid of my feelings for a minute, and why are you allowing me to experience this? Let me tell you something about my wife, okay? When we first met, I liked her. I liked it because she was just a little over 5 feet, okay? She's just like, I like it, hallelujah. We talked a lot. We got along well. It was great. I felt good. About 5 years in, I wasn't feeling so good. She wasn't either. What I didn't know is that it really wasn't about them first few years. It's been about the last 10 years. And see, I didn't see these years coming. I forgot to tell you before service, but later on this afternoon, the T.D. Jakes of Southern Africa, I got an audience with him at the L.A. airport. And I imagine me having some other wife, somebody who's not okay with flying across the ocean like every other month. Someone who's nagging, or what about me? What about me? What about me? What about me? Stay here with me. Where you going? Why you got to be with them people? First time I went to South Africa, it was so cold. It was so cold. It was in the winter, and we was in Zanin. And it was the second coldest I've ever been there. It was so cold, and we stayed in a lodge, and they didn't have any heat. It was in the 30s. So we tried to bundle up best we could and work it out, and then I'm drinking tea left and right trying to stay warm. Well, I kept drinking the tea, and it was just, and then before you know, I'm dehydrated. And the next morning, I got in the tub. I filled it up with warm water, trying to heat up the bathroom, trying to be creative. And then all of a sudden, I passed out. When I woke up, my arms were stretched out, and she was on top of me praying in tongues. She didn't panic. She didn't freak out. See, I didn't know that early on. Now, we're talking about preference versus purpose. God, I need you to see this. I need you to see this. And all of a sudden, nowadays, her height doesn't matter to me. All that other stuff, see, that was low-level thinking. That's immaturity. And we're going to see how it is the same thing David was doing. And see, the problem is some of us, we stay immature. We get older, we get bigger, taller, but we still little boys and little girls. What did you tell us? When I became a man, I put away my childish things. When I was young, I thought like a child. Look at verse 26. Now, I'm not mad at David, but this is my proof here. David asked a soldier standing nearby. Wait, he heard him, but he asked again because it was so intriguing. Now, this is still a low-level question, and it's still a focus on what's in it for me. He says this, what will a man get? Now, God is setting him up for the palace. Right now, he's just hung up on, I get a girl. Like any other 15 or 16-year-old, I get a girl. I get a girl. And women, let me tell you something. It's important to a young brother. That's a priority to us. I'm serious. Y'all be wondering why we act the way we act and do the things we do. Even the little boys, you pulling the pigtails. He just got all this stuff raising inside. He don't know what to do with it. I'm going to just yank on your hair. He doesn't even know how to process it. But it starts early. But the problem, and even in David, now here's my point. David is anointed as God's man. And he's still asking, what's in it for me? And if it can happen to David, who was anointed and appointed, it can happen to us. But that's still low-level thinking. Ask higher quality questions. You show up and you hear this giant, is this something you're inviting me to be a part of? He's hung up on a woman. He wanted to get in favor with his dad and everybody and have him not pay taxes. I understand that. I understand that. But at some point, we got to mature. And our preferences can no longer rule us. Our preferences, it can't dictate it. We can't allow our preferences to dictate anymore. At some point, my purpose and his reason for having me here has to be what is center in my heart. It has to be about him. What did Jesus say? Not my will. Thy will be done. And for us, we're still trying to focus on my will. I want it my way. But see, his ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And we need to go to that next level. But often we stay at this sub-level right here, and the emphasis is, what's in it for me? So you get your house, glory. You get your nice car, hallelujah. About it, and most of us settle. And the sad thing is this, it ain't your house. That's Chase's house, Bank of America's house. That ain't your car. That's Ford Motor Credit's car. That's your credit union's car. Miss a payment and we'll see who it belongs to. And we settle for that life. That's more he has for us. I've never been more fulfilled in my life. And back to this marriage thing. This woman, I sometimes look at her and go, huh? The things I feel I didn't know existed. Because it's about purpose. And when you don't understand the purpose of a thing, you're going to abuse it because you're going to use it abnormally. Like anybody else would. But when you understand its purpose, you will use it as the manufacturer intended. Bow your heads, please. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it is alive, it's a living thing, and it will not return unto you void, and it shall accomplish that which you please. Father, we thank you for allowing us this opportunity to hear from heaven. And my prayer to the Lord God.